Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm Nayan, and today we will be discussing the CinemaCon 2024 news. So that will be the Joker 2 trailer, Margot Robbie and Monopoly, ballerina details, a live action at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, Deadpool 3 descriptions of the footage, along with the Captain America Brave New World footage, Inside Out footage, and latest details on Mufasa. There's a lot of footage here. I wish there was so trailers much. So we could see it. I'm joined here by James. So let's get into this. There's a lot to get into, and it's pretty much replace Comic-Con because no one cares. So open up a cold one, and let's get into it. First one is the first panel, or one of the first panels that played, was by Warner Brothers, and we got the much anticipated film Joker. Not going to pronounce the full name, but it'll be down below. You can see it in red. Stars Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga, and directed by Todd Phillips. It's due to come out on October 4th. Has been described as music is an essential part of the film, but the film itself is still very similar to the first and its roots. So, James, you've watched the trailer before this podcast for once as well. Kudos to you. Everyone, give him a clap.
I always What'd do you that. Think of it? It's just, I always watch it right before the podcast. But what I thought about the trailer, I was pretty unfazed by it. I know a lot of people loved it and, you know, good for them and stuff like that. But I mean, at least with the first Joker movie, I find that to be an obscenely highly overrated movie. I think it's good. I think it's well made. But people act like it's, you know, one of the greatest of all time. I mean, just go look at the IMDb top 250. It's right up there in the top 100, I'm pretty sure, which I think is just ridiculous. You pair that with its, like, what was it, like double-digit Oscar nominations? Undeserving of that. It was like, and it made $1 billion, which is fine, but it was clearly, you know, taking a DC property, one of the most famous villains of all time, and putting him basically in like an indie art house film, the way it was shot, the way it was paced, a real character study. And I thought that was good. I thought it was unique, and it's exactly what DC needed at that time. They really needed to refresh things up, and Joker really worked for them. So it doesn't like surprise me at all that this one is more or less the same. So despite the fact that I thought the first one's overrated, and I still like it, it's just that with this one, I'm actually looking forward to it. And that is because of those interesting elements that we've been hearing about. You know, when we heard it was going to be a musical, we're like, oh, whoa, what could this be? The fact that Joaquin Phoenix was so hesitant to sign on. I think he was like offered like, you know, $30+ million, and he still was like deciding whether he should do it or not. So they've clearly got something compelling here. And the musical side of it makes it interesting. I have no idea what that's going to look like. Now we're getting, you know, Harley Quinn coming into it. And I think Harley Quinn and Joker, that is going to be one of the most interesting comic book relationships in history. It's one that I've really wanted to see play out in live action, not the way that they did it in that Suicide Squad thing. And then they bring in Lady Gaga, you know, not only to fulfill the role of Harley Quinn, but those musical elements as well. And I'm not saying Lady Gaga is like an amazing actress, but I think she's really good when she's put in the right place. And this feels like one that could be right up her alley. I'm really excited. It honestly might be my most anticipated performance of the year, like just to see how that is going to look and feel. And if she can really like stand her own against Joaquin Phoenix, because what he did in the first movie, man, masterful performance. But the trailer itself, it's more or less the, you know, just more Joker with Harley Quinn added into it. You don't really get much of a sense of the musical elements. You see some parts in there. At times it felt like La La Land, like the lighting, the silhouette shots.
I had the same thoughts.
Yeah. And just the way they're dancing. And I'm like, I got to say, it looks a lot better than the first one. It seems like they've really doubled down on that really, you know, artistic cinematography with just, you know, really, really great lighting. I'm super, super excited to see how the technical side's going to turn out. But this didn't really give me anything to make me more hyped for it. But it didn't give me anything less to make me less hyped for it, if that makes sense. So it's a good trailer. It just keeps me being like excited for it. I think it was my 8th most anticipated, so it's deserving of that so far. What about you? Are you more excited for this one now? Because I don't think you didn't have any in your top 10.
No honorable mentions. I can't remember.
You had on your honorable mentions, yeah.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little bit excited now. I like how it's keeping the same tone, mm-hmm. if not, it's going a little bit more darker as well.
Yeah.
And I really like the visual, the cinematography and stuff like that. You know, I think mm-hmm. one of the best ones we get at the end of the trailer is when someone, assume it's Harley Quinn, yeah. like draws like a little U mm-hmm. on like the glass, and then like Joker slowly leans back and smiles, and it's just,
yeah. you know.
So that's I thought good. That was really, really creative. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of creative stuff as well. And you can clearly see that they're bringing the musical side of it. You know, that bird's eye view of Joker walking through the prison, and it's just like bright umbrellas.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to be a musical scene. And there's just a whole lot more. And I think the lighting is going to be fantastic in this film as well.
I think
you pretty much covered a lot of what I was going to say. I definitely get that. I definitely get a lot of that La La Land vibes. I was thinking exactly the same thing as well.
Yeah.
When I was first watching the trailer, I sort of thought, I wonder if this entire movie is just going to be played out in Arthur Fleck's head. So he's imagining having this like relationship with Lady Gaga's, you know,
Harley Quinn.
Girlfriend and yeah. Harley Quinn and stuff like that, but it's actually not real. I did get that thought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I have to wait and see if I'm right. Probably not. Probably far from it.
Yeah.
But you know how there are some shots there where you just get that sort of vibe, where it's just like, oh, is he imagining this or is it actually happening?
I don't know. I mean, question for you before we move on. Joaquin Phoenix, he won the Oscar for his performance. Can he do it again?
To be fair, did anyone really think he was going to win the Oscar before Joker released? Mm. So, yeah, same thoughts as well. I don't think anyone's going to think that he's going to win the Oscar again. but hey, it's Joaquin Phoenix. He's a talented actor, and I wouldn't put it past him. You know, back-to-back Joker performances, back-to-back Oscars. There's a story right there to be told.
Well, that might be if he was to win, man. That would probably be the first time someone's ever won best leading actor for the same character. I can't think of any other examples.
Me neither, because usually it's just one and done sort of films.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll see what it can bring, though. I'm excited to see what it can take on here, because it seems like it's going to be different. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You guys watching at home, do you think Joaquin Phoenix can go back-to-back as a Joker, take back-to-back golds as with the Oscars? Let us know down in the comments, and also let us know how you think or how you felt about that Joker 2 trailer. All right, moving on in what seems to be the board game and video game queen, that is Margot Robbie. She is set to produce a film for Lionsgate, and the film that she is producing is the board game Monopoly. That's all we know. That's it.
Do not James, pass go.
Do not pass go and do not go to jail. So, James, how is this going to work, and what are your thoughts on a Monopoly film?
Oh, man. It feels like whenever we do podcasts, like every few weeks, I have to try and envision how a Margot Robbie-produced film is going to look and feel. Like, we've just done it with The Sims, and now we're doing it with a Monopoly. Can't wait to see what we're going to do next. I have no clue what it could be. As for Monopoly, I'll start off. Margot Robbie and her production company, Lucky Chap, they really seem to be trying to leverage the magic that Barbie has created. You know, taking something a little bit more obscure and doing something really, really different with it, which was good. I think that was the right move to do with Barbie. I'm not the biggest fan of that movie, but I really loved the risk involved in that from a studio standpoint and what they could actually do with it. It just wasn't for me, that one. So, I mean, like, good on her for trying this. I would usually be quite resistant to these types of movies being announced. You know, if it was just like, oh, Warner Brothers is doing Monopoly or The Sims, I'd be like, that's dumb. Why would you make a movie about that? But knowing that Margot Robbie and her production company is behind this, it gives me a little bit of faith that it's something's going to be done with it. It's not just going to be something for the cash. They're going to be, you know, trying to make it something unique. I think Margot Robbie cares deeply about cinema and the state of it and wants to make movies that people can resonate with. I do get that kind of energy and vibe from her. So the fact that she's behind this is reassuring to me. But how can Monopoly work, man? Like, I tried to think about it, and I'm like, this, like, I have no clue. Like, sure, Dungeons & Dragons worked, but Dungeons & Dragons is also a narrative-based game. The characters, the real-life characters play characters who go on a journey. Like, what are they going to do? Are they just going to run in a circle, pass and go? Like, I don't know how they can make that something. It's more mind-boggling than The Sims at this point. At least we got something to draw from The Sims, at least. But this one is just, I don't know. I cannot give you an answer, man. I have no idea. I'd be really curious to hear your take to know how would they do this? How's it going to look? How's it going to play out? Any theories?
I have a few. I'm thinking that it's just a street. It's a massive street that goes in that, you know, square. And yeah, it's the old Monopoly man. He'll be in there somewhere. And it's just literally people walking around in that square. And it'll be like individual tales. So, you know, here you have the blue houses, the brown houses, the yellows and the blue.
Oh, yeah.
Yellows and greens and stuff. Uh-huh. So there'll be like different characters set to each of that. And they'll all be to like different genres. So, you know, you'll have your poor in the browns, and then you're super wealthy in the blues, yeah, and you know, your middos or in between.
Uh-huh.
And it'll just be like a massive, massive neighborhood,
mm-hmm,
of just people with different demographics intertwining with each other. You know, maybe the poor man wins lottos and buys out, you know, what is it? Park Lane or something.
Mayfair. And Park Lane. Boom, yeah.
Rags to riches right there.
Wait, so who's the main character in that scenario? Would it be the Monopoly man or the old guy you just said?
Haven't thought that through yet. I'm waiting on more details from Margot Robbie. I'm just waiting for
her
call.
We all are. Yeah.
I got a few ideas I want to pitch to her, but yeah, at the end of the day, she approves it. But yeah, jokes aside, yeah. I genuinely think that that's how it could work. Otherwise, I have no idea how it's going to work other than something similar to Jumanji, you know, where kids or family are playing Monopoly and somehow they get sucked into the game and the Monopoly man is there. I don't know.
That could be one. I mean, I thought, like, if they want to get really, really weird with it, to the point where no one's probably going to see it, they could use the film as a critique on the real estate industry, on just how, you know, people invest too much and taking away that people to have homes, and, you know, they cause the housing market to skyrocket in price from those investors. It could be something like that. That would be, I would watch that. And no one else would, but I would. I would love to go that direction.
That would just be, that's just, bro, all you need to do is just walk outside and walk down and boom, you live in it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. With that, we live that experience every day. We don't need a movie for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than
that, you guys watching, how on earth do you think a Monopoly film is going to play out? Do you think it's going to go something like James or what I said or something different? And are you hype or not? And if you were to roll and buy any place, which one would be on the board? Let us know in the comments, obviously. All right, one film that I am super excited for is Ballerina. The official title is John Wick Presents Ballerina. That is the actual title, by the way. And it stars Ana de Armas, and it's set within the John Wick franchise, obviously. Keanu Reeves will show up, and the film is set between John Wick 3 and 4. And there was some footage released earlier. It shows that Ana de Armas' character, I'm just going to call her Ballerina for now. She grows up idolizing or looking up to John Wick. And then eventually she's never met him. And then eventually she goes into this work and meets him, I guess, based on the plot. And there's a description of a sword-heavy action piece in Russia on snowy fields or snowy mountains, and the action is on par and similar with the rest of the John Wick franchise. So, you know, that real technical sort of hand-to-hand and gun-to-gun sort of combat. So, James, besides the title, are you excited for this film now?
Besides the title? Excited might be a strong word. I'm looking forward to it, because anything John Wick related, I'm going to be excited for. I love the John Wick franchise. And the fact that, you know, I heard that it was delayed even further to add some of those set pieces and more action in it and stuff like that, which I think is perfect for this because these movies don't really need to be anything more than action-driven. I think that's kind of their style and that's what they suit. They don't need to be, you know, heavy character pieces, you know, with, you know, a really complex narrative or anything like that. I think just full-on action and make the action the most complex thing in the movie. I think that's the way to go. So the fact that they're sticking to the John Wick, I guess, model is probably the safest bit. It's, yeah, it's one that I agree with, so I have to be looking forward to it just on that thing alone. The thing that does worry me is the fact that it is now called John Wick Presents Ballerina and that John Wick himself shows up in it, and the fact that it's about Ballerina or Ana de Armas' character idolizing John Wick. It's like the studio, they want to do a spin-off of John Wick, but not completely. They don't want to be too risky with it. And it just, it's an annoying thing. I really dislike when spin-offs do this whole, like, the whole franchise presents this. It's like, what did we get it for? We got it for Fast and Furious Presents. I mean, there's been some other ones as well.
Hunger Games, Mad Max Fury Road Presents Furious, or no, it's Furious,
Mad Max Saga. Mad Max
Story.
Yeah.
Saga, yeah.
Like, you need to allow these spin-offs to breathe as their own movies. Like, we could really have a new action star in Ana de Armas here, but now that it's so closely tied to John Wick, it's going to be much harder for that kind of character and that story and the movie itself to really stand on its own two feet. Like, if they do a sequel for Ballerina, is it John Wick Presents Ballerina 2? Like, It's silly to me. And Keanu Reeves showing up, I'll always love it because I love Keanu Reeves as John Wick. I feel like that's probably his most iconic role, yeah, even beyond the Matrix stuff. It's him showing up is like, I'm torn on it. I think for this kind of movie, you should have just trusted in the fact that it's a John Wick-styled kind of movie and just had it be its own thing. Should have just left all this John Wick stuff out of it. And, you know, John Wick was meant to die in Chapter 4, and now he's coming back. Isn't there John Wick 5 confirmed now? Like, the franchise is kind of heading in a little bit of a silly direction, it was going on, like, such a strong start. I hope John Wick isn't in it much and that Ballerina stands on its own two feet. If it's as good as it sounds, it could be the start of a genuinely great action franchise with a female lead, which is what we've been wanting. So, yeah, I think it should have been separated more distinctly from John Wick.
Yeah, well, we don't know exactly how much Keanu Reeves is in it. He could literally be in there for like 5 minutes, just having like a bumping into Ballerina or something like that. Or he could be a side character or a co-main character, who knows. But I feel that'll mainly be set with Ana de Armas' character, just because it seems like as if it's going to be set on her way making up through the ranks or something like that, and then going over to Russia just to have a kick-ass sword fight. I mean, we haven't really seen swords in John Wick, so I'm really intrigued to see how they do that.
We've seen loads of swords.
Yeah, I think it was in the final act of John Wick 3. It's a big sword fight. I might be wrong. There's just so many sharp things in John Wick movies. I kind of just, they all blur together at some point.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, in regards to my hype, because I know, I'm thinking this was on my top 10. I can't remember.
It was my honorable mentions for sure.
Well, it might have been on my honorable, I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea at all. But I think my hype is just exactly the same. I'm still a bit cautious, you know, just especially with these details. I do like how it's set between John Wick 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Because obviously it needed to be set somewhere. And I really like how the action is similar to John Wick. And I'm just excited to see what sort of interesting sort of shots and fight action sequences they can do.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on that title. It's absolutely stupid. Like, fuck.
it's just dumb, man. I mean, Ballerina sounds cool. I would have just, yeah, should have kept it that way. But that footage you described sounds cool, you know, in like Russia and like in the snow and a sword fight. That sounds sick. I'm still excited for it.
Yeah. Could you guys get behind that? Could you guys go to Russia and a sword and have a sword fight in the snow? Let us know down in the comments, and let us know if you enjoy the title of John Wick Presents Ballerina, or if you think it should just be called Ballerina or something else entirely. Yep. Now we have new details in regards to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I'm not talking about animated, we're having a live action. And this live action one is not for you kiddies either. It is an R-rated live action film. It is set in a future post-apocalyptic New York City, and it is based on a comic. So basically the premise of this film is that the Turtles and Master Splinter are killed off one by one by the grandson of Shredder, which is the main Turtles villain, and synthetic ninjas as well. However, one turtle survives at and vows for blood and vengeance, and I guess he just goes on a tear, a full-on revenge story. So, James, what are your thoughts on this crazy, crazy story?
Well, when I first saw this story, man, you know what it reminded me of instantly?
What?
Oh, it didn't really remind me, but it was. It felt like something I would ask you in a questionable quickfire question. Our QQQ segment. I feel like it's just something that I would ask. Like one of the scenario ones.
I should have done that. I should have been a quickfire question, given you this and be like, oh, bro, by the way, it's actually going to be a movie now.
Oh, no, yeah. But it sounds ridiculous, dude. Like the fact that, yeah, I think the final turtle remaining is Michelangelo, and he's just going on a tear, like, and killing people, and the fact that the other turtles die, I think that's just crazy. No, I mean, I'll just, you know, say it up front, really. I've never been a massive TMNT fan. Even as a child, I got exposed to it plenty of times in my childhood. Never cared for the franchise, never cared for the characters at all. It was just something I've never really resonated with. But as soon as I saw this, I mean, I haven't even seen the animated one yet, dude. Like, I'm that far behind. But this gets me excited. This gets me interested because an R-rated live action TMNT movie is one thing on its own to be excited for. But the fact that his brothers have like died one by one, and now he's on like a revenge path. Oh, the stuff they could do with this. I just really want to see how it's going to look. I just want to see this turtle bloodlusted to go and kill this guy.
Me too. And I hope they get Chad Stahelski as the director as well, because I think he can do R-rated really, really well.
Mm.
Or even, that'd be interesting. Who was the first director for Deadpool? Was it Todd Phillips? No,
it's Joker.
Someone. You know, we just need like a really gory sort of how fucking Alex Garland did really well in that. Maybe hire him to do this.
Nah, bro, he's quit filmmaking now. Remember he lost his love for it?
That is true. Civil War took a toll on that boy.
Took a toll on me too.
But yeah, on everyone. But yeah, this is super exciting. I like how the direction it's going. It's not really appeasing towards the kids. Mm-hmm. They're doing something really new with it, and it's still based on, you know, lore. There's a comic out based on the story as well, and yeah. that's what they're doing, and they're trying to like capitalize on a whole new market of turtles. I mean, pretty much majority of this generation grew up with the Ninja Turtles, where the younger generation just has, I don't know, what is it, Adventure Time? So this is going to resonate more with our generation than this previous generation. And like you said, that description is just absolute bonkers, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love this to be filmed in like a one-shot sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think that would just be absolutely insane.
That would like, if it's
just a one take, you know, it'll be insane. But
yeah.
I guess it'll obviously be a fast forward or something after all the turtles die. Michelangelo is just a right choice, you know. Or maybe even Raphael. He's like real aggressive, so just having him just tap into the anger. Yeah. Yeah. But there is one person that will die first, and that's Donatello. Sorry. But you're dying first.
Which one's he?
What? The orange one. Or the yellow one.
What's his like uniqueness?
I can't remember.
Oh. Why would he die first?
I don't know. He's just, you know.
He's just that guy.
Just that guy.
I think the director for this movie should be David Leitch. He's one of the like John Wick guys as well. He did Deadpool 2, Atomic Blonde. He's did Bullet Train, and he's got The Fall Guy coming out in, you know, a few weeks from now, and which didn't look good, but it's apparently pretty good. So I think he would be the one to do it. I think, yeah, the R rating and this kind of style, it would be interesting to put like one of those stunt people, made directors to really come in and do it.
Or Dev Patel after Monkey Man.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah. I like it. You know,
because it's similar weird vibes of both films.
What would it be called? Turtle Man?
No. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, Turtle Man. Thirst
for Revenge.
Turtle Man. No.
Anyway, if you guys are hyped for this, let us know down in the comments. Do you think this is an absolute bonkers storyline that you could get behind? If you think it should be called Turtle Man or something else, let us know. I'm sure no one is going to agree with James, but prove me wrong. And don't just prove me wrong by commenting as well. All right, we're now on to the Disney panel, and we have Deadpool and Wolverine news. There was 9 minutes of footage shown at CinemaCon. Kevin Feige says it's fucking awesome. And the only thing that I can confirm from this film is that it is R-rated. Because probably this is one of the most secretive films since No Way Home and Endgame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So within that footage, it shows that Deadpool has retired, working as a car salesman. And he has been chosen, obviously we've seen it in the trailer, he gets kidnapped and taken to TVA and blah, blah, blah. But basically it's that he has been chosen to save the sacred timeline from a potential looming threat. And at the end of the footage, it shows Wolverine in his classic costume, with Deadpool making jokes towards the suit, saying, did the X-Men force him to wear that? And he also makes a joke about the colors, how it's like off the LA Rams. It's Ryan Reynolds. We all know that he'll have some sort of quip there. So, James, what are your thoughts on this footage description? Well,
I think me putting it as my fifth most anticipated movie might actually pay off, dude. Everything I hear about this movie is everything that I want from it. Just, you know, appears the desire to want the MCU to move forward, the fact it involves the TVA, a looming threat, which I think would probably be, you know, the big bad of this multiverse saga, whatever they're calling it. The fact that, yeah, the MCU story is now finally, after fucking like a year of us complaining, dude, it's actually going to be moving forward now. It's going to be a ton of fun. You're going to have good jokes. You're going to have Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I think there's just so many reasons to be excited for this. And it's not something that I'm going to go into and expect, you know, a Marvel masterpiece or anything. I'm going to go into this wanting fun. And I think that's going to be delivered 100%. There's just no doubt in my mind that it's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be different from every MCU movie we've had so far because it's R-rated and it features kind of not new characters, of course, but new to the MCU characters. So we're going to be seeing that Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman come in and interact with MCU properties for the first time. Not to mention the cameos. And, you know, I'm not always for cameos, but I'm not always against them either. And if it's something like the multiverse where they go through different timelines, the cameos make sense. They're not just in it for no reason. It plays a humorous part to it. I think people get angry about cameos all the time, but I think with a narrative and the storyline like this, I think it does justify it. I'm really, really excited for this movie. I just hope I don't get annoyed by the Deadpool character like I did in Deadpool 2. That is the only thing that I am worried about at this point in time. What about you? Because it did not scratch your top 10. I don't think it even came. It didn't come to your honorable mentions. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the L that I'll have to take this year. unless we get another strike and it gets delayed till next year, then boom, I can sneak it in.
No, you can't. Myself. You're not going to get it again. We're going
to go back-to-back years. Let's make it. But yeah, holy shit, I'm so excited for this now, you know. Just the fact that it's full-blown R-rated Deadpool mm-hmm. in, you know, the PG sort of MCU. I think it's awesome. Yep. The description is classic Deadpool, you know. He's like, you could like almost imagine it, how he's like retired and just like making jokes as a car salesman, gets kidnapped, and then uh-huh. he's like making fun of Hugh Jackman. I mean, it's basically just Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, you know, bantering. It's mm-hmm. exactly what we're going to see on screen, so that's awesome. And the fact that this is going to lead a huge part in towards the further storyline of Avengers and mainly Secret Wars as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be very hard to find someone out there that has something negative to say about this right now.
Yeah.
That's not a troll, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking really, really forward to this now, and I hope we do get mm-hmm. some more footage soon.
I heard we're going to get the trailer close to Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes next month, so that'll be good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's
cool. And this releases in what, October?
Nah, July. July. So it's not too far away. It's quite close.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It's going to come around the corner. We're in April already, and it feels like January.
So. Yeah, man. That's gonna be a good one. That's the one where I wish we'll go into the screening together, that kind of movie. Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah. Flight's booked, lad.
You come over here, mate. It's just funny because like the Deadpool and Hugh Jackman character, it's just kind of... It's gonna mirror us a little bit, you know. You're the Hugh Jackman, the angry one, and I'm just the one joking and pissing you off. So, I mean, that's what I'm pretty gonna much. Think about. When
I watch pretty it. Much, and you know, I am Wolverine. I am his height, just brown. So,
yeah, exactly.
All right, are you guys hyped for Deadpool and Wolverine now? Let us know down in the comments. And are you super excited that this is going to lead into Secret Wars, or do you think another film should be taking that charge and lead? Be sure to let us know. Keeping on the MCU train, we've got some footage description and new details about Captain America Brave New World. So basically, the footage shows that Thunderbolt Ross is now the president. Ross and Sam, which is Captain America, I forgot his last name, has a meeting about creating a new Avengers team. And then there's like a presentation press event for this where Thunderbolt is presenting this, and then during the presentation a mysterious villain takes control of the speakers and mind controls the audience, and then that happens, and then there's like, you know, your quick fire snaps of action pieces, and one of the action pieces it shows Captain America being attacked in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So James, does this change your hype? Does it make it more, or does it make it less, or is it still the same?
I don't care. That's all I gotta say about it, man. I mean, it's just nothing to be really looking forward to in this movie personally for me. I mean, Thunderbolt Ross, that is now Harrison Ford, right?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention.
Yeah, what happened to the other guy?
He passed away.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that. Yeah, because I'm like, I've heard about that character before, but like, why is it Harrison Ford now? Yeah, man, I don't have too much to say because I'm just not looking forward to it. The character of I don't even know what his name is. Is it the Captain America? What's his name?
Sam. I think it's Sam Wilson.
Sam Wilson. Yeah, I don't care about the character. I don't find him, appealing at all. He's drastically changed to be molded into the Captain America, and I didn't buy the transition into becoming that pure-hearted, good soul that Captain America is when he was like a cheeky, war veteran in the Winter Soldier. There's not much to look forward to from it. I mean, I loved the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the series, but it was mainly the antagonist in that series that really got me hooked onto it. So that was good. Just him becoming Captain America, I think there's still a lot of work to do, and granted, we've only had a series where it did that. So, I mean, I'm open-minded to seeing what can happen from this. The footage you've described doesn't sound bad at all. I mean, it's just, what is there to really look forward to? The only thing I can really run off is what you've described in the footage and the production, how that's happened as well. And when there's all this production chaos where they have to reshoot major scenes, it's never really a good sign, so I'm not too excited for it. But hey, there may be some, you know, aspects in this movie where you can get a little bit more excited. I think I honestly have to wait for Deadpool and Wolverine to really start getting on board with, you know, some of these other Marvel things, just to see if they're back on track or not, or they know what they're doing and what path they're like carving forward. So I don't know. Yeah, what about you? How do you feel about this?
Same. I'm not excited nor. Not excited, you know, it's just meh at the moment. Like for pretty much all the reasons you just said as well, you know, like we haven't been given a reason to care for this new Captain America apart from, you know, Steve giving his shield while he was about to die on that park bench or whatever bench.
Yeah.
That was it. The fact that, pretty sure I'm right in saying this, that Winter Soldier's not going to be in this as well. Mm-hmm. Sebastian San.
Yeah.
And you know they were like a real big duo, so it's just odd that you wouldn't keep that in there.
Mm.
I think if he was in there, I might have been a little bit more excited because we can still get that sort of banter.
Yeah.
Between them two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just the fact that nothing about this screams exciting. You know, the film was originally called Captain America: The Serpent Society, and it was based on the group The Serpent Society. Actors were casted and films and scenes were actually shot for the Serpent Society.
Mm-hmm.
And everything about that is now just cut, gone, title renamed, and that whole group is dropped. Whether they'll show up in this, who knows? I very much doubt it if they've been completely cut.
Yeah.
So this is like one of those production hells that Marvel wants to keep quiet, but it made the news rounds.
Yeah, it's slowly leaking out.
The only thing that intrigues me and... Mm-hmm. just intrigues by like the minuscule of intrigues is the villain, just how he can like take control of speakers and mind controls audiences, whether he's there or not. It sounds very similar to that Incredibles 2.
Oh, I was going to say that just now. Yeah, it does.
I forgot his name, mm-hmm. but I think that's the only cool thing about it. Other than that, the rest sounds pretty chuck in the vault.
Yeah, I found it pretty intriguing that, the Thunderbolt Ross, the president, and Sam are talking about creating a new Avengers team. Just the fact that it's the, president and Captain America creating the new team, I would have thought it would have been like a different dynamic, like Captain America and Doctor Strange creating the new team. Just like the fact that it's the president involved, it's just underwhelming for me.
He probably wants to create the Avengers so it's government controlled. It's probably the angle they're going for.
Well, he wanted to do that throughout it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's doing it. So
did you see the Thunder? You know the Thunderbolts movie coming out?
Yeah, with the Yeah.
Yeah. Is that related to this in any way? Do you think?
Probably. I'm pretty sure Thunderbolt Ross is in it too.
Yeah, the Thunderbolts.
A quick side segment is that the title for Thunderbolts coming out next year was revealed, and there was an asterisk.
Yeah.
There and Kevin Feige said that he'll release more details about the asterisks when the film actually comes out, so that I guess that's something to keep an eye on. Probably the only reason to be excited for that is because Kevin Feige said, watch the film and I'll tell you what that little star on that logo means.
It's so manipulative, bro. Like, don't do that. Like, you gotta give us something. Don't just put an asterisk by your title.
All right, sorry, carry on. What were you going to say?
No, that's all I was going to say. It's stupid.
All right, what do you guys think about Captain America Brave New World? Do you think they should be chucked in a vault and never to be seen? Are you excited for it? Do you think Sam is actually the perfect Captain America and James and I are just idiots? Let us know in the comments.
Probably.
We are. What, they were idiots?
Yeah.
We are, but we're not idiots about this, so that's for sure. All right, Pixar's new film Inside Out 2 is due to release in a couple months, and the lucky people at CinemaCon were shown the first 35 minutes. So that's pretty much going to be like a quarter of the movie right there. So pretty much it was just main stuff in the trailers that we've already seen. You know, Riley's going through puberty. There's now a puberty button on the on the emotion control, and then all these emotions come in, new ones. But the main thing I want to talk about is that the footage reveals that it's not only using the similar animation style that we used to, but there's also a 2D character and an old school video game style animated sort of character. So James, what are your thoughts on this like different animation style?
I mean, the animation style makes it a little bit more intriguing, but that's I don't really care too much about it, just because we've seen, it's becoming a bit of a trend lately to have these animated movies where they, mix all these different kind of animation styles, that they blur them together and do like really creative things to them. And they're great. Like visually, they're very enjoyable to watch and to see them kind of unfold. So we are getting some really cool animation or animated movies where they actually have like really interesting animation, something we didn't really see for a long time. But the animation's not really why we watch Inside Out, for at least for the first one, and that's all I have to really go off. It's all about the narrative. It's all about how, those emotions affect Riley and her experience through life. And the one thing that's most important about Inside Out is the fact that it's so, I mean, not reflective, but anyone can resonate to it because we all have emotions. We all go through that period of life called puberty. So we can all experience it and, you know, relate to it in some way. And I think that's what Inside's all about. And it's just to give us a cathartic emotional experience and perhaps enlighten us a little bit about and teach us something. That's what I got from the first one, at least. And I'm sure the fact that it shares the same writer and the fact that Inside Out 1 got nominated for Best Screenplay, I think they're going to keep it in like the same kind of tone. So I'm more interested in the fact that, you know, this one's very similar, as from what I've heard of those reactions of the 35 minutes that was played, really funny, emotional, people are going to be crying. So so many reasons to be excited for it. The animation is just one level of that. The fact that it's gotten great reception, it's going to be a big movie, I think, for Disney and Pixar. I'm real excited for it because I was actually quite, not sour, but I wasn't too high on Inside Out. Not like you, because I know that you love not love it, but it's really high on your Pixar list, at least. It wasn't for me, but I've rewatched it this year because I just binged all the Pixar movies, and it's pretty fucking good, dude. I'm excited. I'm excited.
That's good. Join me. fair enough. Yeah, and I think Inside Out was always key in those emotional moments. And the fact that we haven't seen that from a Pixar film in a long, long time, probably 2020 when Soul came out. Yeah, that was probably the most emotional Pixar film of this decade.
Soul?
Yeah, Soul. Second one in 2020. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like as if Pixar's, you know, going back to their roots. And we say this every single time a Pixar film comes out. And
we actually do.
And we are always like wrong or almost there, you know. But yeah. I think we're going to get there. We're going to get there. This is Pixar.
This is the one.
Back. They have found their form and they are back in business for sure. The visual style is just the fact that it's mixing different and unique visual styles is just another reason to go see, you know, because you're going to get a great story that's emotional and it's just going to look absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
So, you people there watching this podcast, go down to the comments and let us know if you are excited for this and go see Inside Out 2. And yeah, just let us know your thoughts. Do you want to see different animation styles from Pixar, or are you just perfectly happy with their sort of 3D animation that they're doing right now, which they are completely kings at? Let us know. All right, Mufasa. I probably called the Lion King story or something. Who knows? We've been given some more details about this film at CinemaCon. So the new details that I found interesting, which I'm going to discuss here, is that the same production team that worked on Moonlight, the Oscar-winning film, also worked on Mufasa, this film. There are new songs, but Barry Jenkins can't say who's developing them. So it could be, you know, a big, big artist. We'll find out. There was a teaser that was shown, and the general consensus from the audience said that it has the same visual effects as the 2019's Lion King film as well. And apparently it's Rafiki telling the story of Mufasa in a distant future, and you're going to have all these little, apparently, or potentially these little cameos of the original characters coming out. And so you guys probably haven't seen it. I'm probably the only one in the world because that's how shit it was. But Lion King 3, the Timon and Pumbaa film, that's probably how it's going to be played out. You know how they're just in the film watching it and it tells their story? Mm-hmm. It could be something like this, but maybe a little bit childish.
Yeah.
Less childish, sorry. Mm-hmm. So, James, what are your thoughts on Mufasa?
I'm excited for it, dude. I know you had this in your least anticipated movies. And that might be your biggest sale for the year, I think. This gets me, you know, extremely excited because, I mean, I was torn. And I think I had it in my honorable mentions. I just couldn't put too much faith in this because the 2019 Lion King, the like live action one where it's just, you know, CGI, I hated that movie. I really don't like it. I think it is an embarrassment to the film industry. And I don't think I'm overreacting about that because it's just a cheat. It's just a cheat. I hate it so much. And it was just the same but worse. Like, just live action animated, but worse story. And it's, they can't express emotions. So the fact that we do keep the shitty CGI effect for these characters is a negative about this movie. And I don't know how Barry Jenkins overcomes that, because the animals cannot express, you know, happiness or sadness because they're animals. And if you're gonna animate them to, you know, be sad and stuff, then they would look horribly morphed and kind of gross and not like a lion anymore. So the fact that you have this animation continuing, the same kind of visual effects, that is the worrying part about this. But if there's anyone that can change this, man, it's Barry Jenkins. And I don't know if you saw his words that he said about how this movie's like, you know, really important to him. He spent 3.5 years on it. He was saying that at first taking on this this film was strange, but he's grown to love it a lot. I'm on board. Barry, I don't know if you really have you seen much of Barry Jenkins' work?
I don't know.
Have you seen Moonlight?
Know. No, I have not.
That's obviously his most iconic piece. Moonlight is a great, great movie. So the fact that he's on board for this, I think, yeah, Disney's going to give him some vision. He doesn't seem like a director that's going to be, you know, bullied and intervene much by a studio. I don't think he'll allow that to happen. This feels like something that I think he has something to say in this movie. I'm really, really curious to see how it'll play out. But, man, I'm on board for it. It's just that visual style that just pisses me off. But, yeah, maybe Mufasa does have a story to tell. I don't know, but Barry Jenkins might be able to find it.
Who knows? I mean, it could be the story between the relationship between Mufasa and Scar.
I would like
that. We haven't really been told if Scar's going to feature in this or not, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, after all these details, I sort of wish I had it at least on honorable mentions or not on my least anticipated anymore. I mean, I know that Moonlight is a good film. It won an Oscar after all, and I hear nothing but good things about that film, and it is on my watch list that I'll get to one day.
Yeah.
And the fact that their production team is working on this is, you know, a big, big win.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally right about the visual styles. I mean, live action animals don't really work unless, you know, it's Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, but he doesn't look like a real dog. Like, he's goofy looking and silly. I mean, but it's intentionally done so that character can look scared and be happy and high or whatever he is, or do farts and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing about this for me is that it's Rafiki telling the story of Mufasa.
Yeah.
Probably tie the Simba or Simba's kids or something like that, you know? I think that's really, really interesting. And the fact that it's like a little nod to Lion King 3 as well is just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to see how that plays out. And whether it's Goofy or if it's just like Rafiki telling the story and then it cuts to the actual story and then him at the end. Or if it's going to like interchange between present and past, present and past, you know. But yeah, I'm a bit excited for this now. I want to see a trailer.
Well, I mean, I just think with Barry Jenkins, bro, he's going to go really deep into this. There's going to be some real some heavyweight themes into this. If it's going to be Barry Jenkins' vision, it's going to stun the casual movie going audience, because they're going to go into this thinking, it's another Lion King movie, I'll waste my money buying this. And then they'll come out, they're like, whoa, what was that? I mean, very similar to like Joker, where it's like, a superhero movie, that'll be fun, let's go see that.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like some like art house thing. It could be like that, we'll have to see. But I mean, yeah. I mean, you had The Fall Guy and Mufasa on your least anticipated. Things are
I'm taking big L's, like, well, to be fair, Fall Guy, like, that was a given.
The Nayan curse is real, guys. Wait for our least anticipated for 2025. They're going to be great.
Yeah, I'll chuck Fantastic Four on there, which would be good.
He's going to do that for us.
I'm taking a bullet right now for the cinema industry.
Mind you, I think your other least anticipated was stuff like If and Garfield, and I have no hope for them myself. So,
hey, they're on my list. They're going to be 90%.
Garfield.
Have you seen the post of Baby Garfield?
Baby Garfield?
Yeah, it's like there's like a poster of like Baby Garfield, and then next to it is like the Alien poster. Just crack up.
It's going to be like that Deadpool thing where they just put that character in front of the thing, and that's going to be like their entire marketing campaign. Yeah, they just replace iconic posters with the Garfield character.
They're already doing it with what, Dune?
Yeah.
All right. Before I piss James off even more, that's going to do us. Let us know what you think about Mufasa. Are you excited for it? Are you on James's bandwagon? Or are you on mine where it should be least anticipated? Let us know and back one of us. You can't be like, oh, both. There's only one winner, him or me. Let's do this.
Me.
Okay. That will do us today on the Let's Be Real podcast. Oh. That was a news heavy. That's what you get when CinemaCon's out. You know, the new replacement for Comic-Con because no one goes there anymore. If you like what you heard and like what you see, like what you've seen, be sure to head to our YouTube channel. Hopefully you can cut that out, otherwise keep it in for the laugh.
Oh, that's too good.
Head to our YouTube channel, give us that like and subscribe. We'll really, really appreciate it. And be sure to watch all of our videos and comments and give us new ideas. If you guys want to see something, want to see a game, want to see a segment, let us know and we can actually make it happen. Mm-hmm. Unlike these other big podcasts that just say it and never do it. You know? And if you like listening to us rather than looking at us, completely fair, I understand. I wouldn't look at me either. Head over to Spotify, wherever you pod from. Search Let's Be Real. And you can still have a lot of fun with us along the way as well. Thanks everyone for tuning in today. We're Movie Gains. We'll catch you later.
Oh, it's a goated outro. Peace, guys.